Okay. Who's, you got something? Come on up here. Jump up, girl. Don't make sure, be sure and get my attention. Flag me down. Anyone else? Not open your Bibles if you would. Three places real quickly and put your finger. in Genesis chapter number 3. You go there. Second Thessalonians chapter 2. In Revelation chapter number 13. It's not been too long ago I preached about Jesus and on the subject of his coming. And I mentioned something to the effect of look up, church, because he's coming. And Jesus is coming. The next prophetic event that the Bible talks about is his coming back. The Bible speaks of his coming in two stages. One coming in the air after those who are saints that saved, taking us out of the way and allowing the time of tribulation to come. We will be called away, the Bible says. Some people refer to it as the rapture. It just means catching away of the saints. And Paul said it was a mystery that was not revealed in the Old Testament, but it's one in which God had gave him knowledge of, that he showed us that the dead that has gone on to be with the Lord since the resurrection of Jesus, those that are up there with him, he will bring back with him. And the dead in Christ shall rise first, and those of us which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with him in the air. Then the tribulation time happens. During the tribulation time, you know, that's the time in which the Antichrist himself, the beast, and he goes by many different names, he shall be introduced to the world. And then, of course, the last half of that tribulation time, it's when he will set into the temple and declare himself to be God. And will require people to worship him. Not only that, he will declare as well that if anyone's going to buy or sell anything, they're going to have his mark. And without the mark, they cannot buy or sell. Brother Junior and I was talking about this yesterday. Then, of course, at the end of tribulation time, Jesus is going to come back to the earth. That's what was referred to as his second coming. He will come back, and with the sword that proceeds out of his mouth, he will destroy the Antichrist, the beast, and the false prophet in chapter 19 of Revelation. And he will take and he will reign upon this earth. That's a summary of the events to take place. I want to preach upon this thought, instead of looking up, church, because he's coming, I want to preach on this. You better wake up, world, because he's coming. Yes. Some people says, well, I'd never take a mark of the beast. Everything right now is fashioning and preparing the world to obey the government. I mean, if you want to go visit Brother Cottle in Canada, you can't unless you take the vaccination. You're not allowed in country. New York, you can't go in restaurants, you can't go in gyms, you can't go in this one, that, different places, unless you can show and prove that you've been vaccinated. Now, I'm not comparing the vaccination in one sense and saying it's a mark of the beast. It's not. What I'm trying to say is the world is being prepared to receive the mark when it comes. We are being prepped. And people are being getting accustomed to the government. Now, I want to share with you some thoughts, and I'll come back to that thought in a moment. But look back, if you would, in Genesis chapter 3. Genesis chapter 3, there are two people that I want to point out that are very special in this verse. In verse number 15, this is after Adam and Eve had sinned and taken the forbidden fruit that God had commanded them not to. And in verse 15, he says, this God speaking, says, I will put enmity between thee, the serpent, and the woman, between thy seed. Now I want you to notice thy seed and her seed. And it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Now, just for the sake of not having come back to the chapter 3, something I'm going to bring out in a moment, look if you would in verse number 5. What Satan promised her was this. The lie that he told the woman was this. God wasn't truthful to you when he told you that if you take that fruit, you shall surely die. He said, thou shalt not die. But he told her, he said, for God doth know that in the day that ye eat thereof, your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as what? God. Knowing good and evil. Now, if you remember, she took of the fruit of the tree of good and evil. Up until that time, God and God only had the ability and the authority to declare what was good, what was evil. When God said something was good, it was good. When God said something was evil, it was evil. But now they've taken of the fruit. Now they have sinned. Now the devil has convinced them that they don't need God. And by the way, when we get into the lie, that's the lie that he deceives people in thinking that you don't need God. You can be your own God. That's what he told Eve. He said, I'll go ahead and take it. He said, the reason God don't want you to take it, he knows the day you take it, you shall become as God. And you shall be able to know good and evil. But what the Bible tells us is that when man has the ability to determine what's good and evil, he will, according to Isaiah chapter 5, verse 20 and 21, he will call good evil, and he will call evil good. And of course, that's what we see happening as we speak. But now I want you to notice in verse 15, there is a prophecy of two seeds coming, one from Satan, one from the woman. Now, we dealt on the woman's seed before, only place in the Bible where it refers to the woman's seed. Always after that, it's the man's seed. The reason why is, without man, you're not going to have children, unless there's something unusual that happens. And in Jesus and Jesus alone, he had no man that had any part of his birth. The Holy Ghost of God impregnated Mary.
Amen.
And he was solely the only human being ever born that was a seed of a woman. Everybody else had been the seed of a man. So therefore, the seed of the woman was going to be Jesus. He was going to come. And when the time was right, he came. And he came and he took upon him a body like us. Now, Jesus done come. And he did the job and task that was before him, the cup, and he went to the cross of Calvary, and he ascended back to the Father, waiting to come back again. But now I want to focus upon the other seed, the seed of Satan. Now, you got to remember, and we're not going to go all these places because I don't have time, but to understand where Satan came from, you just have to go to Isaiah chapter number 14 and Ezekiel chapter 28, and you find out that he was Lucifer. He was an angel. Now, there's three prominent angels that's named in the Bible: Lucifer, Gabriel, and Michael. Michael is a warrior. He's a fighter. Several times you'll find him protecting Israel. In the last days, tribulation time, he's going to be the one that's going to take Satan and his angels and cast them out of heaven. Now, according to Revelation chapter 12, we find that when Satan was cast out of heaven, a third of the angels came with him. Obviously, because of the thrones and principalities and powers in heaven, all three of those angels' name had a third of the angels, I would assume, the way I gather it. Michael's got his angels, Gabriel's got his angels, and Lucifer had his angels. And a third of the stars came down when Lucifer came. They were cast out.
Lucifer bit into a lie. He bit into a lie that he didn't need God, that he could exalt himself above God and become a God himself. He wanted to be worshipped. He wanted to be served. And by the way, whoever you worship, that's the one you serve. And so therefore, he wanted to be served. And so he wanted to exalt his throne above God's throne. And he was cast out of heaven because of it. Well, ever since then, he's looked for people to serve him down here. And so what he does is he gets them buy into the same lie he bought into. The lie is that they don't need God, and that if they reject God, they can become gods of themselves. That's what Eve bought into. That's what other people. Well, I'm my own person. I make my own decision. I decide what's right. I decide what's this. And so therefore, what happens is we have a world of people that loves themselves and doesn't love God. They worship themselves, and they won't worship God.
Amen.
Now, getting back to this, look, if you would, in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, we find a little bit about the seed, or chapter 2, I'm sorry. We find a little bit about the seed. Now, the church of Thessalonica was concerned that Jesus had come and gone, and Paul was trying to relieve their mind. In verse 1, he said, "Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, and by the gathering to him, that ye be not soon shaken in mind or troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter, as from us, as the day of Christ is at hand." Now, that's the day I was talking about earlier. Look at verse number 3. "Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come, except there come a falling away first, that man of sin be revealed, the son of prediction." Now notice here, he's called the son of prediction. The word prediction means hell. He's a son of hell. Only two people was ever named that in the Bible, Judas and him. They were both named the son of prediction. I think there's a relationship there, but I'm not going to get into it tonight. Look at verse 4. "Who opposeth," knows the Antichrist, what he does, "who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God, and that is worship, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God." So therefore, what he wants to do is, this seed of Satan is going to come, and he's going to want the same thing Satan did. He wants to be worshipped. He wants anything that declares to be a God above him, he's going to declare, he's going to blaspheme that God, and he's going to have people to worship him. He wants them to worship him. Look at verse 5. "Remember ye not that when I was yet with you, I told you these things, and now ye know that what withholdeth, that he might be revealed in his time. For the mystery of iniquity." Now notice, he's called the mystery of iniquity. Jesus is called the mystery of godliness. He's called the mystery of iniquity. He says, "The mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way." Some people said, who is that? That's the Holy Ghost of God. He's in each one of us, and he will be taken out of the way, because he that is in us is stronger than he that's in the world. Even though the spirit of Antichrist is here, the Antichrist himself is not going to take reign until we be taken out of the way, because the Holy Spirit of God will take us out of the way, and he will remove himself to allow the Antichrist to make the move that he's going to make. Now, look on. Verse 8, "And then shall that wicked one be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming." That's the second coming I'm talking about, when he comes back to the earth. That's described in Revelation chapter 19. "Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness and of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of truth, that they might be saved. And for this cause God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie, and that they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but have pleasure in unrighteousness." Now, turn, if you would, to Revelation chapter 13. Again, in chapter 13, we find, in chapter 12 of Revelation, the Bible refers to a dragon that wants to absorb Israel up. And in verse number 4, is where I was referring to, he brought a third part of the stars of heaven, and it cast them to the earth, and the dragon stood before the woman, that's Israel, which was ready to be delivered, that's Jesus, to devour her child as soon as it was born. You know, the devil moved in people like Herod to try to destroy Jesus as quick as he's born. He moved in the heart of Herod to declare that every male child under the age of two should be destroyed, should be killed. And so therefore, the devil wanted to destroy the seed of the woman quick as it come. But he wasn't able to. And she brought forth a man child, verse 5, who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron. Her child was called up unto God and to his throne. Now, you look in verse 7, and there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angels. Now remember, Matthew chapter 25, verse 41 says that hell was prepared for the devil and his angels. That's what God prepared hell for. And the dragon here is the devil. If you look on down, you'll find that to be true. In verse number 9, and the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent, called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. Now, it talks in verse 13 about a beast. This first beast, there's two beasts in chapter 13. The first beast is what we refer to as the Antichrist. The second beast is what we call the false prophet. Now, the false prophet is going to have a religious following. You've got to understand, when the times are right for all this to take place, there will be a movement upon the earth for all denominations to drop their separations, to become one, to accept some religious figure as the key high potentate of religion. Well, guess what? Folks, we're there. He calls himself the Pope, and he travels around, and wherever he travels, kings of the earth bows down and kisses his hand. He goes wherever he wants to. The harlot that described in Revelation chapter 17 and 18, the religious whore is none other than the church, the false church that claims to be the bride. And again, that falls underneath the false prophet and his leadership in it. And so therefore, what you have is, you have the false prophet and you have this great whore. She's made herself drunk through her history on the blood of the saints of God. Now, if you want to understand that a little better, you ought to get a little booklet we have around here. Got a lot of facts in it. The Trail of Blood. It would do you well if you have any confusion on it to read that and find the history of the church. Now, getting back beyond that, what's going to happen is this great whore is going to be received through the world. She's not going to receive persecution like Brother Carla was talking about this morning. She's not going to receive persecution like someone who fundamentally preaches the Word of God. She's going to be accepted throughout the world. The kings of the earth are going to welcome her. Did you know? They're the only denomination that's allowed to sit in the United Nations. You know they're the only one? They have their own seat? You know they cry separation of church and state on everything that we do? And yet they can come and our tax dollars will pay for everything that happens while he's here? Why is that? What's going on? But anyway, getting back to chapter 13, the Bible says that this beast, verse 1, that's going to rise up. I'm not going to go into all this. I don't have time. But notice here, in verse 3, it tells that he was wounded to death and his deadly wound was healed. And all the world wondered after the beast. Makes you wonder maybe about who it's going to be. And if it has some relationship to the fact that Judas was called the son of perdition. But look in verse 4. And they worshiped the dragon which gave power unto the beast. That's Satan that gives power unto his seed here. And they worshiped the beast, saying, who is like unto the beast? Who is able to make war with him? And there was given to him a mouth speaking great things and blasphemings. And power was given to him to continue 42 months. That's 3.5 years, the last half of the tribulation. And he opened his mouth in blaspheming against God, to blaspheme his name, his tabernacle, and them that dwell in heaven. And it was given to him to make war with the saints and to overcome them. And power was given him over all kindreds and tongues and nations. And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him whose name is not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. If any man have an ear, let him hear. Then he goes on in verse number 11. There's another beast going to come. Now this beast is going to be the false prophet. Now the false prophet's going to point to the son of prediction, the Antichrist. He's going to exalt him in people's eyes. Now, why is that? Because the devil never had an original thought in all his life. All he can do is imitate what God is. Yeah. We have the Trinity of God. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost. Now, what does the Holy Ghost do? The Holy Ghost doesn't come. And by the way, there's a lot of denominations that tries to exalt the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost didn't come to be exalted. The Holy Ghost came to point you to Jesus, the Son. He wants a Son worship because no one can come to the Father but through the Son. So there's a Trinity of God. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost. So what's the devil going to do? He's the Father and his Son is the Son prediction, the Antichrist. And what's the false prophet? The false prophet is to imitate the Holy Ghost of God. And the false prophet's going to point people to the beast, the Antichrist. And he's going to build an image of the Antichrist. And we'll just read the last part of chapter 13 there. He's going to build an image there. And by the way, he's going to have the power to make that image come to life. And man, are people going to be marveled at this Antichrist. Somebody said, does Satan have that kind of power? Yes, but nothing compared to what God's got. Greater is he that is in you than he that's in the world. Amen. Now, but then look, if you would, on down, and notice here in chapter 13 that the Bible says in verse 14, and deceiveth them that dwell on the earth by means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast, saying to them that dwell on the earth that they should make an image to the beast which had the wound by a sword and did live. And he had power to give life to the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be what?
Killed.
You know what? People that are under control of Satan, killing means nothing to them.
No. Right.
Do you know that? Now, I'll get you to that moment. And he calls us all, both great, small and great, and rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or their foreheads. And that no man might buy or sell, save that he had the mark, nor the name of the beast, or the number of his name. Now, I know people said, well, this, that, is it this, is it that? It's not time for it. But the preparation of it is here. We are seeing the world prepped to receive the mark of the beast.
That's right. Amen.
They are going to obey the government. When listen, somebody said, well, I'm not going to take it. Well, you can't buy or sell. Well, I guess I'll take it. Since I got to do that to buy and sell, everybody else is taking it. Why can't I take it? And so therefore, what we're doing is we're being prepped. Now, go back in your Bible a minute. Let me show you a couple things. A couple things you need to understand. There's only two supernatural forces at work in the world. One is good, one's evil. One's God, one's the devil. There's no middle ground, by the way. Now, so when man abandons God, the real, true, living God, I don't care what he's in, whether it's religion, society, politics, whatever he may be in, when he abandons God, then he's serving the devil. Because there is only one God, and there is none else. And when he abandons the process to worship God through his Son, no man cometh to the Father but by me, Jesus said, then he is worshiping someone else other than the true living God. And at the root of that would be Satan. Look, if you would, real quickly, turn a couple places with me to 1 Timothy chapter 4. Now, in 1 Timothy chapter 4, Paul begins to address the times in which we're living. The last days began when Jesus left and promised he would return. Everybody that's been involved since Jesus left has been living in the last days. But the Bible goes on, he defines the last little bit before the last days expire. He calls it the latter day. Look, if you would, in chapter 4, 1 Timothy. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to what? Seducing spirits and doctrines of the devil. Speaking what? Lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron. Now, let me stop just a moment and say this. You've got to understand, when people are serving Satan, what they were going to do. Look, if you would, in John chapter number 8. John chapter number 8. Notice, if you would, the people were claiming to be Abraham's seed, but they hated Jesus and they wanted to kill Jesus. But notice, if you would, in verse number 40, he said, but now you seek to kill me, a man that had told you truth, which I have heard of God. This did not Abraham. In other words, you don't have the same spirit Abraham had. You won't kill me because I'm telling you truth. Look in verse 41. Ye do the deeds of your father. They said to him, we be not born of fornication. We have one father, even God. And Jesus said unto them, if God were your father, ye would love me, for I proceed forth and came from God. Neither came I of myself, but he sent me. Why do you not understand my speech, even because you cannot hear my word? Ye are of your father who? The devil. And the lust of your father ye would do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in truth, because there is no truth in him. And when he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a what? A liar and the father of it. And because I tell you the truth, ye believe me not. Now, let me say this. Turn over, if you would, chapter 10 real quickly, and then I'll finish my thought. Chapter 10, notice, if you would, in verse number 9. Jesus said, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not, but for to what? Steal. And to what? Kill. And to what? Destroy. I am come that they might have life, and they might have it more abundantly. Now, let me say a couple things real quickly. The lie comes upon people, being deceived by Satan, that they don't need God. And when they don't need God, then they turn to themselves and they become lovers of their own self. The only thing they want to please is themselves. And so what he does, and Satan don't care if you worship yourself, as long as you don't worship God. Because when you're not worshiping God, you're worshiping him, whether you realize it or not. The people talking Jesus here, they said, we be Abraham's seed. He said, no, you're not. You're of the seed your father. That's the devil. That's your father. You know why? Because you are believing a lie against God. You're rejecting Christ. And so therefore, you do that. Now notice a couple things that Satan does. He's a murderer. He was a murderer from the beginning. Yes. Now, and so what did he do when he came upon the scene? The first thing he did, he lied to Eve. He lied and he got her to buy into his lie. Oh, if you eat that, you'll be as God. She said, well, okay. And the Bible says in Timothy, she was deceived. Therefore, the head of her is the husband. She wanted to be a god. Guess what? Now she's supposed to be submissive to her husband. And we also have that Adam sinned because he knew what he was doing. He was deceived to think that she'd become a god if she'd just take that fruit. And so she bought into his lie. Then guess what? The first seed she had, Satan moved upon him, and what did he do? He rose up and he murdered His brother. And the Bible tells us over in the New Testament that Cain did that because of the influence of Satan. That's why he murdered. Now let me tell you this. Somebody said, what is happening in our country today? They are savagely killing. These liberal cities have become murdering fields. Every day you pick up and you hear, every weekend there's 40, 50, 60, 70 killed in Chicago, and there's 20 killed here and 20 killed, and everybody's just gotten used to it. What's going on that everybody's killing each other? They have rejected God. We have in this nation, I love this nation, but this nation is turning its back upon God. And what we've done, we've kicked God out of school. We've kicked God out of court. We've kicked God out of everything. Even the churches are kicking God out of him, the true God. And what they've done is we have turned our generation into thinking that they don't need God, and all they have to do is think of themselves first. And when they think of themselves first, then what they do is they don't care about anything else, even if it's killing somebody. And we make idiotic laws that one day down the road, years ago, this nation would have never, ever approved. Laws like this. It's my body. If I want to kill this baby, I can kill this baby. You know who the author of that is? The one that was a murderer from the beginning. God's not in that. Somebody said, but you don't understand. I understand that God is the author of life. And God, that baby is a heritage of God. And I don't care who you are, and I don't care how much rights you think you have as a woman, you have not the right to kill another individual, and that other individual baby has its rights.
Amen.
And also, it's a human being that's accountable. And when we have turned into a nation that can kill millions of babies every year, it tells you how ungodly this nation has got and how that murder has been okayed.
That's right.
And now it's spilling out into our streets, and now it's not babies anymore, it's whoever they want to kill.
Amen.
There ain't no way in the world I won't go to Chicago. I don't want to go to New York. Had to go there the other day. I didn't ever want to go to New York. I was like that one guy on the commercial. New York City, not me. Amen. But look here. They'll kill you for nothing there. It don't bother them. You say, how can they do that? Their conscience has been seared. They've been raised without God. They don't think they need God. They don't even believe in God. And they have followed the leadership of their devil. And by the way, did you know that not only does God, did the devil work in individuals, did you know that the devil works in the leaders of nations? Go to Daniel chapter 10, and you'll find that Daniel prayed, and Gabriel brought a request 21 days later, and he said he brought it sooner, but he had to fight the prince of Persia. Somebody said, well, the prince of Persia must have been a man. He wasn't a man. He was an angel, one of the fallen angels that fought and kept Gabriel from coming. How do you know? Because an angel in another place in Kings slew 185,000 men. A man can't stop an angel. But he refers to that angel, the evil angel, as a prince of Persia, someone overseeing Persia. Then the prince of Grecia is named in the same place. Then we find in chapter 28, the prince and king of Tyrus. And if you study chapter 28, the king of Tyrus is none other than the devil himself. You know what that's telling us? That he has leadership. And look here. You know who's behind these laws that allows babies to be killed? The devil. I don't care who they are. I don't care what, whether they have a D or R after their name. If they pull that switch, they're not getting that of God. That's murder.
Amen.
And there's one behind the murders. Why are we seeing such an increase of it? Because. Why are we seeing such an increase of desecration of men and so forth? And men don't even know whether men or women anymore. They sit there and men want to marry men. Women want to marry women. Men want to dress like women. What's that of? It's not of God.
No. Amen.
God says it's abomination.
Amen.
He didn't create that. And look here. If two men wants to be married to each other, and the first thing they want to do is have children. We want children. They can't have children. They won't get it. God take our children.
Yeah, right.
That's the only way they get children. God didn't make it where two men can have children and two women can have children.
Amen.
You know why? It's against nature. And so therefore what we're doing is, listen, it's not by mistake that we're seeing this and it's killing the conscience of America because we're just getting used to it and say, well, that's just the way it is. There's nothing we can do about it. Keep voting them clowns out. And understand that there's an evil presence everywhere we turn. And you know, you heard Brother Caldwell talk this morning. It's not going to be long until America's going to be the same way. They're going to come in, and as a matter of fact, just a while back when they had the COVID, and they said, we don't want you going to church. You know what they were doing when people went to church? Going out there and taking their license plates so they can find out who was at church. You could go to an abortion clinic. It was one of those things that was protected. But you can't go to church. And so therefore, what we need to understand is the lie that is being pushed and how people are being made to get ready for this to happen. Now, we need to understand that not only is it influenced government, but also we find that religion. And see, all he wants to do is he wants to take away anything that is truth. Matter of fact, I wrote a comparison. Let me share it with you real quickly. You have the seed of the woman, Christ. The seed of Satan, the beast. One comes from above, according to John chapter 6, verse 38. He came from heaven. That's Jesus. I'm going to use Jesus over here with the right hand. Amen. I don't like to use him on my left hand. The beast, the left. Well, that's good and fitting, isn't it? The beast, the left. He ascends up from the pit, according to Revelation chapter 11, verse 7. Christ came in his Father's name, according to John 5, 43. John 5, 43 says he comes in his own name. The Bible says that Christ, when he come in Philippians chapter 2, he came the Son of God, God himself. He come and he humbled himself. What did we read in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 about this guy? The beast, he exalts himself. Jesus humbles himself and he becomes a man. The beast exalts himself and declares himself to be God. Jesus is despised by men. According to Isaiah 53:3, Revelation 13:3-4, he is admired by all men. He's going to be the hottest thing since sliced bread. Man, he's going to come in, and I think he's going to come in the midst of tribulation of war or something. And he's just going to solve it. And he's going to allow, according to Daniel, he's going to allow in chapter 9 a peace treaty to be made between Israel and Arab. And you know what? President Trump began that. He began to put the writing on the wall. And look here. It's not going to be far away. But what we find is that he is exalted by his Father, Jesus. The beast is going to be cast down to hell, according to Revelation chapter 19. Jesus came to do his Father's will, according to John 6. And according to Daniel chapter 11, this Antichrist is going to do his own will. Jesus came to save, to seek and to save, according to Luke chapter 19. This one came to destroy, to steal, kill, and destroy. You say, where's all this coming from? There's only two sources, folks. When they reject God, then any nation that forgets God shall be what?
Turned into hell.
Turned into hell. And what we're doing is we have a majority of people that is serving the devil. And we're just a step or two away. Not only that, we find that Jesus is called in John chapter 10 the Good Shepherd. Well, in Zechariah 11, he's called the Foolish Shepherd. Jesus is called the True Vine in John 15. He's called the Vine of the Earth in Revelation 14. Jesus is called the Truth in John chapter 14. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 10, he's called the Liar, the Antichrist is. Jesus is obedient one. The beast, he's a lawless one. Jesus is a man of sorrow. The beast is a man of sin. Jesus is Son of God, the Son of Man. The beast is Son of Prediction. Jesus is Lord Christ.
Amen.
Jesus is a mystery of godliness. He's a mystery of iniquity. Now let me say something a minute, and I want you to understand. You see, there is, the devil doesn't mind for you to have religion. He wants to be worshipped. That's why he's called the God of this age. Remember when he took Jesus in Matthew chapter 4 and Luke chapter 4, he took him into, Jesus went into the wilderness to be tempted. And remember when he offered him all the kingdoms of the world? Guess why he was able to offer that? Does that mean God's not sovereign? No, it doesn't mean God's not sovereign. God's still sovereign. But what happens is God has gave man free will of choice. And man is making decisions. Now let me tell you something else about this devil leading up to this day and preparing for this day. He don't mind you to be religious. But there's only one gospel. That's the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. And Jesus has to be both Christ and Lord. You hear me? What we've done is we've created a Savior. And somebody said, you believe in lordship salvation? I do. Maybe not the way some people define it, but I do. I believe that you got to recognize Jesus as Jesus Christ, our Lord. Yes. Amen. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So therefore, and when the Philippian jailer said, sirs, what must I be do to be saved? Believe on the Lord, right? Now, I want you to understand this. The Bible says if anyone comes, whether it be an angel, and by the way, you read 1 Corinthians, or 2 Corinthians chapter 11, the devil has his angels. They're filling pulpits today. And he said, if they preach any other gospel than the gospel of Christ, let them be accursed. And you know what we're doing? We are flooding religion with gospels, perverted gospels. And even some churches that used to preach that has left the preaching of the truth, and they're now preaching a gospel without repentance, a gospel without confessing of sin, and they repeat a gospel of just love only and grace and no repentance. But Jesus said, except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. And Paul wrote, there was a time when it man's ignorance God winked at, but now God commandeth all men everywhere to repent. God's not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. And we have gotten away from repentance. You know why? Because we have to confess ourselves as sinners if we're going to come to God and recognize Him as our Lord and Savior. Amen. Now, I said all that to say this. Church, look up, He's coming. World, beware, He's coming. And man, is He going to come? And is the world today ripe for the picking? We have been trained, and all they're doing right now is waiting to take the government, take over the rights of us. When the greatest nation's ever born on the face of the earth, born of righteousness in men trying to obtain the right decisions in life. And yes, not all of them were saved, but the influence that the Word of God made in the forming of this nation is what's kept this nation great. And this nation has been a light to the rest of the world to keep evil from overcoming. And we're just slowly sliding by. And we're slowly seeing a socialistic country. And by the way, let me throw this in, I'll close. And some people get mad at me, but I won't throw this in. I'm going to tell you another way the gospel has been perverted. People has turned to a social gospel instead of preaching the gospel. A social gospel means a lot of the churches have quit preaching against sin. And what they've started doing is feeding people food, clothes, and so forth. You say, well, what's wrong with it? There's nothing wrong with it in its place. But those people are still sinners that's dying and going to hell.
And that's not the task of the church, to just turn it into a social gospel. It's all right to provide and give to the poor. But our main task is to preach the word throughout all the world and preach the gospel. And so what I want you to understand is this, folks. You need to be awake. Brother Junior, he's coming. Christ's going to, they're going to be a shout, and we're going to go. And boy, this Antichrist is going to come on, and the world better be beware. Because all who has refused to hear the truth shall be damned. There'll be no hope for you. You better heed wise day. And you better understand that Jesus has come just as God said he would, the seed of a woman. And he's coming back just as he says he's coming back. And so is the seed of the serpent coming, just as the Bible predicts. And man, we see the spirit of Antichrist everywhere. Who is Antichrist? He that denieth that Christ is the Son of God. Amen. So this evening, we need to be aware. When we look at the world, if we're going to say something, we need to say it. If we're going to share something, we need to share it. Because time is running. The world is being prepared. I never thought I'd see a time when they say, you take this, you can't come in and eat no more. You got to take this, you can't get on a plane no more. You can't take this, you can't go to the gym and work out no more. You can't take this, you can't go to school no more. You can't take this, you can't go into a government building no more. You can't take this, you can't go to a fair. He's coming. World beware. He's coming. Let's stand.
Turn back up the red book. Turn back up the red
book. All friend. Wake up. Wake up before it's too late. If you're here tonight and you're not saved, my friend, you're walking on serious, dangerous ground. You need to come if the Spirit of God is drawing you to come. John said the spirit of Antichrist was already active in his day, but it'll be even much more just before he comes. And man, everywhere you see the spirit of Antichrist. You know why they won't allow you to take a Bible and talk about Jesus in school, but you can take anything else in school and talk about it? Spirit of Antichrist. You know why they don't want you preaching on the street? Spirit of Antichrist. Why they're against the truth? Spirit of Antichrist. Anything else can sell except the truth. Amen. Let's sing, brother.